Hello, it's Sunday yet again. 6 degrees centigrade, 42 Fahrenheit, 76% waterlogged air, known as humidity, 1014 millibars. It's cold. The wind is blasting from the west. It's gone cold again. And apparently, we've got more rain on the way. No doubt you've heard the news about Princess Catherine, Kate, and her cancer. You know, she had abdominal surgery earlier in the year, and she's now announced that she's got or had cancer. I think the cancer's been taken away, and she's now going to have the chemo to sort out anything that might be left. So that's very sad news. I wish her well. Hope she makes a full recovery. Cancer is a bugger, isn't it? It really is. Moving on, we have an hour ahead of us, so I hope you're sitting comfortably. What was it they used to say on the Listen with Mother? There was Watch with Mother, wasn't there, on the telly? But before that, on the radio, Listen with Mother. If you're sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. Living Alone. This episode was inspired by a friend of mine who I bumped into the other day. We were having a chat in the street, actually. In fact, we ended up going into a cafe because I hadn't seen him for quite a while, so we had a cup of coffee. And no, it wasn't Costa or other stuff. It was ordinary coffee, a proper little cafe where they spoon the coffee out of a jar of Nescafe, bit of hot water and a splash of milk. Proper coffee. None of this latte and skinny fat latte, whatever they're called. Anyway, I digress. This friend of mine, I first met him when I was 15, when I first went to work. And he was single then, as I was, and he's still single. And he has lived alone. Well, he lived with his parents initially, obviously. His parents passed away. He was left in the house, which became his. He was the only child. No aunties, no uncles, no relations whatsoever, which is unusual. Anyway, he lived alone and he loved it. A few years ago when we were chatting, he said that he hadn't planned not to get married. It just didn't happen. He just didn't meet the right person. He had lots of girlfriends in his younger years, but marriage was never an option. He did say when we were chatting in the cafe the other day that he now regrets not getting married. Not that he had a choice, but he now regrets that it didn't happen. Because, and this is the interesting bit, he said, I'm lonely. Now he's old. He's what, older than me? He must be heading for 80. And he's lonely. Back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, he was a relatively young man. And he had girlfriends. He had hobbies. He had all sorts of things to keep him busy all the time. He said to me that at the weekends in the old days, he would go to the pub Friday night, Saturday night, when pubs were proper pubs. He'd go there, meet all the locals, have a chat, have a really good couple of evenings at the weekend. During the week, he worked. The evenings were kept busy by, in the summer, doing a bit to the garden. He liked gardening, chatting to neighbours over the fence. It was only when he became old, old, that he thought, hang on a minute, I'm lonely. I'm sitting here on my own. He doesn't do a great deal in the garden now because he is heading for 80. His health is okay. He's not ill or anything. It's just that he can't do what he used to do, obviously, as he's heading for 80 years old. What I find interesting is back in those old days, a few decades ago, he used to say to me, oh, I don't want to get married. I don't want someone living in my house. I've got everything the way I want it. I certainly couldn't share the house with someone else. It would be awful. I could see his point back then. He'd got everything the way he wanted it. Didn't want someone else moving things around and interfering. He did say the other day it was probably selfish of him. Looking back, I'm not sharing anything with anyone. This is all mine. I like it the way I like it. I've got no one to tell me what to do. I can do what I like, when I like. If I want to go out, I will. If I don't, I won't. I don't have to consider anyone else. That was the way he used to look at it. Whereas now, of course, that was all very well back then. Now he's lonely. Another chap I've known since my teens, he's now, well, he must be heading for his 80s. He has lived alone ever since he left home at 16, 18, whatever he was. He's lived alone. He bought a house. And he has said the same sort of things to me over the years. Oh, I couldn't share. I remember once the way he put it, his words, not mine. I don't want some woman moving in and telling me what to do. I remember him saying that. And do you know, recently, in the last year or so, he has hinted, he won't actually admit it, but he has hinted that he's somewhat lonely. Just one or two things he's come out with. And I have said to him, oh, it's a shame you didn't ever get married. Oh, no, I'd want to get married. Oh, no, perhaps you didn't then, but now you wish you had. Anyway, there we are. He won't get married now. He must be 80 by now, if not just over 80. Struth, where have the years gone? I lived alone in my teenage years. I got a bed sitting room, and as kids did back then. Well, I say kids. Well, I was, wasn't I? 16, I think. I first moved into a bed sit. And I took my washing home for my mum to do, you know, typical sort of story. And it was great at the time. I could take girlfriends back there and I could do what I like. I could play my music. No one questioned anything. But I had to take the washing back to my mum for her to do. Then I was hungry. I had a little cooker thing in the corner of the room. I didn't have much luck with that. So I was going round the chip shop, living on takeaway fish and chips. That wasn't very healthy. So I used to go home for a proper meal every now and then. And I only lasted, I can't remember how long. I had two or three bed sits. And I think each one only lasted a month, maybe two or three months. I can't remember. Living alone, the idea was great in my teenage years. But it wasn't something that I'd want to do my entire life, as the two friends of mine have done. Do you live alone and are you happy with that? Have you always lived alone? RaysRants@protonmail.com. Be nice to hear from you. I'll just quickly mention Shelley. Hello, Shelley. Nice to hear from you. Glad that you enjoyed Tricia joining in on the podcast episode the other day. And you say, how about mentioning in a podcast where Tricia and I met? Well, that was a long time ago. Yes, we might do something like that. Several people have said, bring Tricia back into another episode. So I might do that. I've got to ask Tricia, of course, whether she wants to. It would be nice to have a few guests to come along and have a chat about the old days. I did say to this friend of mine, do you want to come and have a chat? Oh, no, I'm not going on a podcast. I don't like my voice and all this business. I don't know why people don't like their own voice. But it would be nice to not necessarily interview people, but just have a chat to people on the podcast. I've got the other microphone set up badly at the moment because that one's louder than this one I'm on now. I can't have my guests being louder than me, can I, Struth? It'll be okay once I've got used to adjusting the mixer levels properly. I am getting there slowly. Back to living alone. Many years ago, I knew an elderly lady who lived alone. She was, I'm going back, what, 30, 40 years, and she was in her 70s then. She lived alone, had never got married, and she loved it. I went round her house. She made bread, jam, marmalade. She made all sorts of things, pickling onions and pickled eggs and you name it, she would pickle it. She had a large kitchen. It looked like a farmhouse kitchen, really nice with a big old pine table. And what she would do, she would bring all her homemade stuff into the pub. Well, not take it all into the pub. She'd take samples, you know, look, jar of marmalade, jar of jam, homemade jam, I'm selling these. And people would give her orders. Oh, I'll have two marmalades and a jam. And what bread have you got? Oh, yeah, I've got homemade bread. And she had a little cottage industry going, quite profitable. It was a cottage, actually, more than a house. It was in town, but a little cottage down a kind of mews place. I don't know that it's still there now. They've probably pulled it all down and built a dreadful block of flats or something. We used to buy bits and pieces from her, jam, marmalade, all homemade, really nice stuff. I feel quite hungry now talking about food. Just going back to bedsits, a friend of mine, he had a bed sitting room in town. What was mine? When I was 16, it was £1.10 a week. So that's £1.50 a week. 30 bob it was back then. Who remembers 30 bob? Which wasn't bad, actually. There was a slot meter for electricity. But that was it. There was heating and your water, hot water and all that stuff. Anyway, this friend of mine had a bed sit, but he lived at home. And what he did, he just used it at the weekend. He didn't live there. But at the weekend, we'd all go clubbing. And if he met a girl or whatever, he'd take her back to his bed sit. And he used to rent it out to anyone else that wanted it. If we were in a nightclub and one of the lads had got a girl there, he'd say, well, you can have the bedsit for the night. There's the key, you know, for 10 bob or whatever. I don't know what he charged. I can't remember. So that was quite funny. Did I tell you I was listening to Jack Hargreaves the other day? I find his voice and his manner, his demeanour, it's all very relaxing because it's just slow. And the way he comes on at the beginning, you know, out of town programmes and the old country, that was another programme, wasn't it? It'll start, there he is sitting in his shed, well, corner of the studio, built to sort of look like a shed. And he just says, hello, I was down by the river the other day, watching this chap doing a spot of fishing, and he's just all laid back, and I love it. 80s, 1980, I think he out of town started. Is that when it began? I always thought it was the 60s, but apparently not. But I do like that sort of laid back, calm, quiet sort of, I don't know, attitude, demeanour, whatever it's called. It's rather nice. As I poke about round the internet, YouTube and other places, looking for decent videos or looking for podcasts to listen to, I find more and more people are starting them off. I know I've talked about this before, but it's happening more and more. You start off, you click play on YouTube. First of all, there's an advert. Well, that's fair enough. YouTube have to make their money from somewhere. But then when the video starts, there's this blasting music, blaring out music, and the bass, and I think it's Stoner Crows, what's going on? And then someone will say, what's up, YouTubers? Oh, goodness, I turned it off. I just turned it off, I can't have that. Can you imagine if Jack Hargreaves, if his music, rather than that nice music that starts out of town, have a look on YouTube, just type in Jack Hargreaves, out of town. If he had, and if he said, what's up, country lovers? Stoner Crows. I hate it. I hate all this shouting. His programme is one of the few that I watch where they don't shout. I don't know why people have to shout and blast music out at the beginning of podcast episodes and videos. Perhaps it's just me. Perhaps I'm getting old. I know some of you will be thinking, well, in the old days at the clubs and the pubs, they had live bands, live music, and that was really loud. Yes, it was. But I went there to listen to the music. I used to stand when there was a group, as they used to call it. They're bands now, aren't they? When there was the drummer, perhaps the bass man, and the lead guitar and singer chap. The guitar was fantastic. I'd stand right by the speakers, you know, big Marshall speakers, Marshall 100-watt amps, and they're playing some fantastic stuff. I'd stand right by the speakers so I could feel it as well as hear it. But that wasn't when I'm at home, just relaxing for the evening, trying to watch something, and they blast trumpets at me, blaring trumpets. So, yes, I love loud music. I saw Jimi Hendrix at the Royal Albert Hall back in the 60s. Now, talk about loud. He had a whole bank of Marshall 100-watt amps and a wall of speakers. That was loud. Absolutely phantasmagorical. What's that? Where did that come from, phantasmagorical? Was that the sound of music or something? I don't know. Anyway, there we are. I do like loud music if it's proper music and not blaring trumpets. I would imagine some of you are now saying Hendrix isn't proper music. It's a noise. That's what Tricia says. She doesn't like, what does she call it? Wailing guitars. We're all different. Have you seen that advert on the telly? This is UK telly, of course. There's some woman going on about, I don't even know what the advert's for. And there's a chap in the background at the sink washing a plate with a sort of brush. And he's just standing there, grinning at the woman, going round and round with his brush, then round and round the other way with this brush. The acting is appalling. Where do they get these actors from? I just don't understand it. So many TV adverts these days are atrocious. What's that RSPCA one, where the chap finds a dog, a stray dog that's been left, and is on the phone to the RSPCA and is saying, oh, it's awful. Oh, the poor thing. Oh, the poor thing. He hasn't got any fur. Well, can't they get a proper actor? You wouldn't do that. If I found a stray dog in a really bad way and I phone them, I'd probably say something like, "You'd better get out here fast and pick him up. The poor thing's got no hair on him. He's all skin and bones. He looks awful." Not, oh, the poor thing. Dear, I don't know. Perhaps I should have gone into advertising. No, I'd probably get the sack. And as for that one, which is, what's it to do with gold? If you want your gold repaired or you want to sell it or something. That chap with the, I can't say that, can I? With a high-pitched voice. I won't try and do an impression of him. It's awful. You know the one I mean, where you take your old broken gold along and they'll give you cash for it. If you want your, if you want it repaired or look. Anyway, let's move on from adverts. I can't stand any of them. In the old days, they were good. They were. They were really good adverts in the old days. Do you remember Omo? No, not that. Omo washing powder and Brand X. They were, and the Daz adverts. They were all good adverts. They were well thought out. Unlike today's rubbish. Just one more advert's come to mind. Was it Lorraine Chase? The chap says, "Were you truly wafted here from paradise?" And she says, "Nah, Luton Airport." I think that made her career. And Leonard Rossiter, wasn't it, who poured his, was it Campari or Martini? He used to pour his drink over Jackie Collins. Was it Jackie Collins? Yes, it was. He always poured his drink over. They were good adverts. I like those. Anyway, we're not supposed to be talking about adverts. Yes, we are. We can talk about what we like. We don't have to have hard and fast rules. But just going back to living alone briefly, there was a lady I knew. She was married for, I think, 50 years, happy marriage, 50 years. And then she was left alone. Sadly, her husband passed away. 50 years of happy marriage. And suddenly she's waking up in the morning on her own, having meals on her own. And I remember how sad she was. She was sad for a number of years. It really did affect her. That sort of living alone must be awful. I can't imagine waking up in the morning, you know, and Trisha's not there. I don't know. It just doesn't bear thinking about, does it? I don't want to think about that. That's dreadful. But of course, a lot of people are in that situation. I don't know how they cope. Luckily, I suppose they've got family, children, grandchildren, all that sort of thing. So they've got people around them. But what if they have got no family? You might have a husband and wife that didn't have children, so they've got no grandchildren. They might not have been brothers and sisters, so they're just totally on their own. One of them goes, and that one that's left is completely alone. That must be awful. As a friend of mine used to say many years ago, there's always someone better off than you and always someone worse off than you. On a brighter note, the sun is shining 23 degrees under our patio roof. Outside the dining room door, what did I do? My shorts and my farmer's hat that I wear in the sun to keep my head cool. All our summer stuff is still up in the attic. So what did I do? I took my jeans off and no one can see, don't worry. And I sat out there in my underpants, took my socks off, got my white legs out, took my shirt off. Wonderful. It was really hot. So that's the first time this year I've actually sat out there in the sun. And we're still in March, of course. We're still in March. So that's pretty good. I'm going to make the most of it and go back out there, I think, in a minute. Get some more vitamin D, which you get from sunshine, don't you? I think we could all do with vitamin D after a long... Well, no, not after a long, horrible winter, because you lot down under... Hello, Rob and everyone else in Australia. Hello, everyone in New Zealand. All you lot down there enjoying your summer. Well, we're up here freezing. Now your turn's coming, isn't it? Mind you, as I always say, every year I say this, I don't know why. Your winter's coming, but your winter's warmer than our summer. So that's hardly fair. Earlier I was talking about adverts. Did I say Jackie Collins and Leonard Rossiter? It's Joan Collins, wasn't it? I get so confused these days. It was Joan Collins. And Campari, I believe. That's just come to mind. I'm probably completely wrong, but there we are. Catherine from Pennsylvania. Lovely to hear from you. I like your email address. I won't read it, but I like your email address. That made me laugh. What did you say? Oh, yes, that's it. Have I got any photos of me with long hair from my hippie days? I haven't, Catherine, because back then, of course, there were no mobile phones, so you had to take a proper photo with a camera, then take the film in to be developed. And I don't have pictures of me with long hair, which is a shame because, as you say, that would be fun to look at. Now, on the first day of spring in Pennsylvania, you reckon that winter arrived. Well, that's not good. That's not a good start, is it? I suppose we are at that time of the year where you can either have lovely sunshine or snow. It really is that time of the year, isn't it? Now, going back to the question I posed some weeks ago, where do you listen to the podcast episodes? Catherine listens while she's walking the dog and then sometimes listens to the episode again and goes to sleep. All these people that go to sleep, honestly, listening to the podcast episodes, I don't know, something's not right somewhere. No, it's great. It really is nice to think that people doze off listening to my droning on and on. Talking of going to sleep, had an email from, where are we, Colin. Hello, Colin. And Colin says, have you noticed that in the mornings, gone 9 o'clock, nine, half nine, 10 o'clock, a lot of people's bedroom curtains are still drawn. They're closed. I've not noticed that, Colin, until you mentioned it. We went out for a walk the other day, about 9:30 in the morning, and I was looking up at the houses, the front bedroom windows, and there were quite a few with the curtains closed. You're right. What's all this about, you're wondering? Colin reckons that a lot of people these days just don't bother to go to work. They stay in bed. Now, that fits in, Colin, with what I was saying, was it last week? 10 million people aren't going to work. Now, they're not on sickness benefits or anything like that. They're not ill. They just don't go to work. These figures are, I don't know where they're from, the government, and they lie all the time, so don't believe everything you hear. But apparently there are 10 million people that just don't want to go to work, so they don't. They just stay in bed in the mornings, get up late. I don't know what they do. It must be awfully boring. But Colin, since you mentioned that to me, I have been keeping an eye on people's bedroom windows. Now, that doesn't sound good. No, just looking to see whether their curtains are drawn or not. And they are. A lot of the curtains are closed into the morning, into the working day, if you like. I'm retired now and I've got plenty to do. In fact, I've got too much to do. But during my working life, I think I would have found it just, I don't know, boring, incredibly boring to wake up every morning with nothing to do, no work to go to. What on earth do you do all day? I don't know. I don't understand that. Having said that, in my day, things were very different. Obviously, things have changed over the years and people now just don't seem to want to go to work. I don't know. I don't understand that, but I wouldn't because I'm old. Completely different subject. Do you like sourdough bread? We sometimes go to a little cafe for breakfast and he does sourdough bread. You can have poached eggs on toast, mushrooms on toast, but the toast is always sourdough. And I quite like it. Now, Tricia made a loaf. It took nearly a week because you have to, I don't know, you do the mix, leave it for 24 hours, do something else to it, leave it for 8 hours, and it takes several days. I think it's almost a week before you actually get the loaf of bread. Anyway, I rather like sourdough bread, not to be confused with soda bread. I do get confused. Sourdough I'm talking about. It's rather nice. And Tricia is going to make some more, but I said the thing to do, if it takes that long, then make one lot and a couple of days later, make another lot and another. So you've got a kind of production line, a sort of conveyor belt of sourdough bread to feed me with my jam sandwiches. No, I do like sourdough bread. I don't know why I mentioned that. It just came to mind. So I thought I'd ask you whether you like sourdough bread. We make all our own bread, we being Tricia. I don't like shop-bought bread anymore. There's something not quite right with it. So it's rather nice to have our own homemade bread. Another subject altogether. I planted some alyssum seeds the other day. That's a strange word, isn't it? Alyssum. A-L-Y-S-S-U-M. Alyssum. Alyssum seed. Little white plants. I planted them in a kind of trough thing on the patio. Covered it up with a sheet of plastic. 2 days later, they're up. There's little shoots coming up everywhere. So that's rather good. and we're off to a garden centre, when is it, tomorrow, I believe, with my mother, take her out for a trip. So I shall be buying more plants, because our summer's coming and down under your winter's coming. I mustn't keep saying that. Sorry, Rob. A man knocked on the door yesterday, and it were two men, and they said, your double glazing looks pretty old. I said, oh, thanks very much. And he said, no, I don't mean to be rude. He said, it's just looking like it's getting on in years. And he said, would you like an estimate? I said, well, yes, I would, but I'll have to check with the landlord. Oh, OK. Thanks anyway. And off they went. Works every time. I'll ask the landlord. Sometimes they'll say, where's the landlord? Is he local, your landlord? No, he lives in Spain. I don't see him year in, year out. Never see him. And that gets rid of them. I know it's lying. I mean, it is our house, but some of these people can be a little bit intimidating. There was one I said, sorry, no, you haven't heard what I'm saying yet. You haven't heard what I've got to say. And I said, well, whatever it is, I haven't got any money. Yeah, but we do terms. We do easy terms. And he got a little bit stroppy and he was intimidating. Had I said to him, sorry, the place is rented, he'd have cleared off. It works every time. You need a new driveway. I know. I wish the landlord would do something about it. Oh, OK, bye. Decades ago, when I lived in the village, there was an old boy opposite me. I got to know him because he was just over the road from me. He lived alone and he had a landlord and he wouldn't have anything done. The landlord said, I'll put a new bathroom in for you, because that's what, out of the arc, the one you need a new bathroom. No, I don't want a new bathroom. I'll put a new kitchen in for you. Won't cost you anything. I don't want a new kitchen. I like it the way it is. And he used to tell me these things. Oh, the landlord wants to do this now, and the landlord wants to do that. He was quite happy with the way it was, and he loved living alone. And the first time I ever went into his house was quite amazing, because I had said to him, surely a new kitchen, new bathroom, you know, isn't that a good thing for you? Come and have a look in the house, he said. So I went in. The hallway was full of junk. It was tidy, but the stuff piled up. What was it? Magazines, some newspapers, some books in the hallway. He obviously didn't vacuum the carpet very often. Went into the lounge. It was fantastic. Surrounded by books, the walls were lined with books. There were two large tables, a couple of armchairs, two large tables that he obviously sat at, with those, you know, those bank lights, those long brass lights, old-fashioned stuff. Everything in there was very old-fashioned, really nice, out of the 40s and even earlier. And he had spread on these two big tables, he had all sorts of paperwork and research he was doing. He was a historian or something. And it was brilliant in there. He had a big old radio, an old valve or a tube radio, as you'd call it in the States. It was a real mess, but it was just brilliant. It was wonderful. He then took me through to the kitchen. He said, look, I'll show you why I don't want a new kitchen. There were no cupboards. On the walls, there were shelves. I think there was a cupboard under the sink. There were shelves on the walls. And he said, look, I can see all my food. I can see the tins I've got. I can see all the food there. I don't need cupboards. Everything's hidden away. You've got to keep opening doors to find stuff. Which I thought at the time, well, that's a good point. You could see everything he had in the kitchen. You didn't need to open cupboard doors. And the old sink he had, it was an old china thing with brass taps. And he said, look, what's wrong with that sink? He said, it must have been there 100 years. And he laughed. He was a great old chap. I really liked him. And he said, I'll show you the bathroom. I thought, oh dear, here we go. The bathroom. It was okay. It was green. The bathroom suite, as they call it, was it avocado green or something? Dreadful colour. And he said he wants to put a plastic bath in, a white plastic bath. He said, I don't want a white plastic bath. I've got a decent cast iron one here. Cast iron bath. Proper old toilet, proper old basin on the wall. The tiles were dreadful. They were those black and white tiles with a sort of black line round. It was all awful. But he loved it. And as he said, it all worked. So why change it? Apparently he'd never been married. He'd always immersed himself in his work. I think he was a historian. I think he worked, he was retired then, I can't remember. He worked at a was it a university or some college or something in London. He loved living alone. And I have to admit, if he'd had anyone move in with him, well, it wouldn't have worked. All his papers were on his big tables in the lounge and in the dining room. I forgot that. There was another big table in the dining room. Oh, in the dining room, he had a load of records and reel-to-reel tape recorders. He was into his music. Anyone moving in, how could they fit in with his way of life? It would have been impossible. I did ask him, actually, why he rented the place, because he obviously had money. And his answer to that was that the upkeep of the property was not his responsibility at all. But as I pointed out, well, when they do try and upgrade things and improve things, you don't want it done. And I remember his words. He said, oh, they can do all that to the house when I'm dead. Quite an eccentric gentleman, but I liked him. I know what I meant to tell you. Tom sent me an email. Hello, Tom. Tom's 34. Thank you for your age, Tom. Very useful, because you don't remember coal fires. No, you wouldn't at 34, would you? His question is, when you had a coal fire, was it going 24 hours a day? Did you keep it going all the time? My parents didn't. My grandmother didn't. I remember that. She didn't. When the fire went out at night, before they went to bed, they let it die down. Then in the morning, they'd clean out the ashes. My parents did this. My mum did it, because back then there were housewives. There aren't these days. So my mother would clean out the coal fire in the lounge, get some screwed up newspaper, kindling wood, make it all up ready to go, little bits of coal on top, ready to light that evening. Or if it was really midwinter, then she'd light it that morning and keep it going just low all day. Then when we got in from school, she'd bung a bit more coal on it to warm everything up. But there were people, Tom, that kept their fires going all day and all night. A friend of mine, Harry, we'd be in the pub, and at 10 o'clock he'd say, right, that's it, I've got to go home, I've got to stoke up the boiler in the kitchen, and I've got to make up the fire in the lounge. And he would get up in the night to put a bit more coal on the fire, check the boiler in the kitchen, because the kitchen boiler also did the hot water for the house. There was a hot water tank. It was a gravity type thing. The cold water would fall down, go downwards, because it was cold. That would go down. And then the hot water, being hot, would rise. So you've got two pipes to the kitchen boiler, to the tank upstairs. So the cold water came down slowly, no pumps, got heated. And because it was hot, it would rise. So the tank upstairs was eventually full of hot water. And of course, it stayed hot all the time. It was insulated with old sacking and stuff like that. Not the modern stuff we have now, but sacking all wrapped round it. And old blankets, that was it. I remember old blankets wrapped round the hot water tank. It was quite funny. Yeah, thinking back, I can picture that in their loft, because I used to go up there sometimes and have a look, because they had a bungalow, my grandparents. In fact, our dining room fire here that we do light, we have the coal fire going, behind it is a what they call a back boiler. There were pipes up through the floor to the bedroom, where our bedroom, where there was a big cupboard and a hot water tank in there. But that's all been taken out. So it's a shame, really, because we'd get hot water from the fire. As I say, the back boiler's still there. There's no water in it. It's full of sand. I suppose that's what they have to do if it's empty. It's full of sand. So whenever the fire was going in the dining room, it's heating the hot water, which does make sense, doesn't it? You're getting the fire to warm the room and the hot water. Also, Tom, your email, do people keep fires going all the time? That depended on how much money they had, because coal was not cheap. You know, you buy your coal, the coalman delivers it, fills up the coal bunker. You've got to be a bit careful. You've got the whole winter to go through. And unless you had lots of money, you couldn't have the fire going all the time, not 24 hours a day anyway. I don't remember my mother or my grandparents putting wood on the fire like they do now. They burn wood. You buy logs or chop up stuff yourself and use that. We burn quite a lot of wood. I think you have to be careful with the chimney. We have our chimney swept every year in the summer. Andy, his name, he comes round, young Andy, with his vacuum cleaner and his sheets and his rods and his brush, shoves the brush up the chimney. If you see the brush come out of the top of the chimney, that's meant to bring you luck. I stand in the garden and I say, yeah, I can see it, Addy. Addy pulls the brush down again. It's quite good fun. Of course, I remember that as a kid. I remember the chimney sweep man coming round and he'd have his sheets all over the mantelpiece, you know, hanging off the mantelpiece, all over the fire opening. And the soot used to go to people that grew things like celery, because apparently soot is very good for celery. I believe they make creosote from soot. This is why there used to be a lot of chimney fires if you didn't have the soot cleaned out. I may be wrong, but it turns to creosote and that catches fire. And I do remember seeing chimney fires. You know, I'd be walking home from school and you'd see flames flaring out of someone's chimney, you know, like a furnace roaring out of someone's chimney. Then the fire engine, you'd hear that coming along. Not with his knee nor, but his bell, ding-a-ling-a-ling, in the old days. And the horse and cart, no, they weren't horse-drawn. I'm not that old, stone the crows. I remember the coalman coming round. His hands and his face were black with soot. You'd just see his white eyes and his teeth if he opened his mouth, his white teeth. He was just black with soot. And he carried the, what were they 100-weight sacks? What's 100 weight? Is it 112 pounds? That rings a bell. He carried those round to the back of your house, tip the sacks into the coal bunker, ready for you to use. You'd fill up the coal scuttle, as they called it. Benny Hill was Fred Scuttle, wasn't he? Anyway, this is a coal scuttle. It's a totally different thing. So you'd fill that up and you'd have that by the fireplace, the coal scuttle. And then you could tip some coal on the fire as and when needed. I know the smoke from coal-fired chimneys is poison, it's sulphur and goodness knows what else, but it's that wonderful smell in the winter, especially if there's snow or frost or ice around. You're outside, perhaps walking home, and you can smell the coal fires. That happens now, because our fire, of course, you go outside, you can smell it. One or two other people around us have coal fires, and it just takes me back to the 50s. When I was walking home from school in the winter, you could smell that. And I remember thinking, I hope Mum's got our fire going. I'm cold. And of course, I'd get in and our fire would be roaring away. It'd be lovely. Sit there and have my jam sandwich and glass of orange juice. Happy days. And on Christmas Eve, I believe it was Christmas Eve, we'd write out our letter, our list of what we wanted, presents to Santa Claus. Not when we were older, of course. I didn't do that in my teens. But when we were young kids, write your letter to Father Christmas and you chuck it up the chimney. So your piece of paper, you just hold it above the fire and the draft up the chimney, it would suck your piece of paper up there for Father Christmas to get. So he knew what presents to bring you. Mind you, it was a bit odd because whatever I asked for on my present list, I didn't ever get any of them. I got something completely different. And I remember kids saying, can't Father Christmas read? You know, what's the matter with him? Does he need glasses? And jokes like that going around. Because no one ever got what they asked for, or very rarely anyway. Earlier I mentioned the coalman. Do you remember? I said his hands were black with soot. His face was black with soot. It wasn't soot, was it? The coal hadn't burnt. It was coal dust, not soot. So, yes, my mistake. Just going back to coal fires, most people just had a fire in the lounge or the dining room, normally just the lounge or the sitting room, the front room, whatever they called it. Bedrooms weren't heated. Older houses did have fireplaces in bedrooms. When I was, 5 years old, our house was, it was built in the early 50s, so it was new. We moved in brand new. And there was only one fireplace, and that was in the lounge. No boiler in the kitchen, immersion heater for the water, electric water heating. No heating anywhere else in the house. No gas central heating, of course. No storage heaters. Do you remember the electric storage heaters that came in? They were dreadful, really dreadful. They'd heat up all day. No, they'd heat up all night. And then in the day, they'd give out the heat. And the whole thing was ridiculous. Whenever you wanted heat, it didn't seem to be there. When you didn't want the heat from the storage heaters, they're pumping out heat. The whole idea was atrocious. I do remember my father putting storage heaters in to the bungalow we moved into when I was 5. He put storage heaters in, And they were just awful. Economy 7, wasn't it? Cheap rate electricity at night or something. Picture this, a winter's evening, we're all in the lounge by the fire. The lounge door is closed with a sausage. Do you remember the sausages that would go along the door to stop the draft? Coal fire roaring. Of course, the coal fire needed oxygen. It needed air. And it was sucking all the air out of the room up the chimney. A sausage thing along the door to stop the draft wasn't really a good idea. You had to have some air come in somewhere, which, of course, caused a draft. The whole thing was a nightmare. Our coal fire now is lovely because we've got gas-fired central heating. We don't need the fire for heat. If that was the only form of heating we had in the entire house, it wouldn't be very good at all. At bedtime, us kids, we'd all go to our bedrooms, which were absolutely freezing. We'd have hot water bottles, but you had to dive into the bed, get under the sheets, the blankets, the eiderdown. Do you remember the eiderdowns? And you'd hide under there, shivering, your feet on the hot water bottle. I don't know. Of course, waking up in the morning, ice on the inside of the windows. We've done all this before. I won't go there. When I was a boy, people get fed up with hearing about it. Younger people don't want to know. I don't know how some of the youngsters today would have survived back then with all the body cuddling and the central heating and, I don't know, happy days. I've just had an email from Ray. Thank you, Ray, for the YouTube video link. Sunday dinner, Sunday lunch in the 1960s. It brought back so many memories. On the radio was Two-Way Family Favourites, the Billy Cotton Band Show, Hancock's Half Hour, Round the Horn. That's amazing. I just wish I could share the video clip with everyone. That's fantastic. Brought back so many memories. Sunday lunch, mum's in the kitchen from kind of 9:30 onwards doing sprouts and goodness knows what else. The pubs were only open, of course, on a Sunday between, 12 and 2. So dad's up the pub at 12, Sunday lunch is at 2. And he doesn't get back until 2:30. So there's arguments, there's tension, and the son and the daughter, they have to wash up. Arguments about, no, I'll wash up, you wipe. No, I wiped last Sunday, you wash up. Fantastic, thank you for that, Ray. My dad didn't go to the pub. He didn't go to the pub at all, actually. But of course, as I got older into my teens, 16, 17, 18, I started going to the pub on a Sunday lunchtime. Again, only open from 12 till 2, people would stand outside the pub. There'd be a group of us standing outside at sort of 5 to 12, waiting for it to open. Must have looked like a bunch of alcoholics. But it was great. There were roast potatoes on the bar. Not in every pub, but a lot of them did that. Roast potatoes on the bar, bowls of peanuts or crisps. And we'd stand there having a couple of beers and eating all the bits and pieces. And then, of course, home late for Sunday lunch. I believe in the evening on a Sunday, they opened at 6 and closed at 10. I think that, I'm not sure, I can't remember. It was a long time ago. I remember being on holiday in North Wales, and on a Sunday, the pubs didn't open. They were closed. You had to travel, I think it was 14 miles to wherever it was, to find a pub that was open. And of course, when people started talking about having pubs open all day, as they are now, people were saying, oh, no, we're going to have a load of alcoholics. Everyone's going to be drunk. They'll be drinking all day. That didn't happen at all. I think it's quite nice because, especially if you're on holiday or visiting a town somewhere, you can pop into a pub. You don't have to have alcohol. You can have a cup of coffee or a soft drink. It's just nice that they're open. And of course, now, as I'm always complaining, a lot of them are restaurants rather than pubs. I suppose that's good in some ways. I don't like the idea of losing our old traditional pubs, which has happened because they've become restaurants. But if you're away on holiday or whatever, you can pop into a pub for a meal, which is quite nice, I suppose. I don't like change. You'd never have guessed, would you? You didn't know that. I don't like change. We went out this morning, took my mum to the garden centre, and I said, I want some geraniums. Oh, no, 4 to 6 weeks before we've got those in. It's too early. Oh, OK. A cosmos plant. No, 4 to 6 weeks is too early. Oh, OK. Several other things I asked for. No, 4 to 6 weeks. I said, OK, we'll come back in 4 to 6 weeks. I did buy a, was it dianthus? I can't remember what it's called. Dianthus some sweet peas, some tomato plants. She said, don't put those out yet. Keep them in the warm. Yeah, okay, 4 to 6 weeks. I try to, every year, start the summer early. I don't think it's officially spring yet, is it? I don't know. Where are we, in the middle of March? Every year I do this. I try to start the summer early and put plants out. Of course, then we get a frost and they all get killed off. My father, when I was a kid, he was well into gardening. Well, having said that, he'd buy all the plants and then my mother would have to plant them because they'd just be left. I don't think there were garden centres like there are now. There might have been nurseries around, but most of the plants he bought, he would order through the post, mail order. And these plants would turn up in, you know, in cardboard boxes and obviously need to be planted out as soon as possible, which he didn't he didn't seem to bother to do that. So that was left to my mother to plant everything. But back then, he would buy seeds and plants, all mail order, from places like the Exchange and Mart, Sutton's Seeds. I think anyone that was into gardening did that sort of thing. I don't remember any local shops, or did the greengrocer sell seeds or small plants? Maybe later on. There weren't garden centres as we have now. Well, I say garden centres, the one we went to this morning. It was very nice. They sell clothes. Clothes in a garden centre, it just doesn't seem right. I don't want to buy clothes from a garden centre. I'd go to a clothes shop. Anyway, there we are. Times have changed. Bring back the old days. We do try to go to a family-run nursery. It's just that my mum wanted to go there, have a cup of coffee and look around the place. You know, she liked that. So that was good. She liked that. And of course, they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. She said, oh, we'll have to come back, which we will. We'll take her back in 4 to 6 weeks. I suppose these days, businesses have to make money any way they can. So rather than just sell plants, sell food as well. And then perhaps clothing and ornaments. And so it goes on and on. Furniture, garden furniture, it goes on and on. And the original garden centre or nursery doesn't really exist anymore. Same with pubs. They're not going to make enough money out of the drinks anymore, so they do food. I can see the point. You know, it's understandable. It's just that old misery guts like me, you know, I want to go and buy plants in one place, have a meal in another place and a coffee, and buy clothes in another place. I don't want them all under one roof. Going back to coal fires yet again, only briefly, if you had your washing out, which some people did in the winter, you get a nice winter day, the sun's out, but it's cold, you put your washing out, it would get covered in smut. That's little specks of soot. So everyone's got their coal fires, they're roaring away, all the smoke's billowing out of the chimneys all round, causing fog, and the pea super, as they had in the early 50s in London. All your washing has got these little smuts on, a bit like the railway. Anyone living near the railway, their washing would be covered in soot. I think they called it smut, S-M-U-T. Little black dots all over your washing from the steam engines that went racing by. And of course, in the house, for example, in the dining room or the lounge, you've got the fire going. If you run your fingers along any surface, on any furniture, the picture rail, wherever, it's black with soot. Very, very fine dust, I suppose it is. It would cover everything. And of course, you've got a fire going in the lounge, a fire in the dining room. You've got this soot everywhere. And then, of course, the fireplace has to be cleaned out afterwards. So get rid of all the old ashes. And, you know, we've had a coal fire. The next morning when I clean it out, sometimes the embers are still glowing. And there used to be notices when they first had plastic dustbins instead of the old galvanised steel bins. Do you remember those, the galvanised steel dustbins? The plastic ones, it would say on top, no hot ashes, because people would bung the ashes in there. And of course, it would melt the plastic dustbin. And I remember dustbins, you know, the steel ones, catching fire, because people would empty all the old embers in there, the ash and everything, and you only want one or two of them glowing, and it would cause a fire. There's old newspaper in the dustbin or packaging. The dustbin would catch fire. I remember that happening on more than one occasion. Not quite an hour, I know, but I don't want to waffle on just for the sake of waffling on. You'll all go to sleep, if you're not asleep already, that is. I planted out the, is it dianthus? I looked it up. And they are called, or they're known as pinks. I think that's a better known word for them, pinks. And do you know why they're called pinks? They're like carnations, but they're not. I mean, they are like carnations, but they're not carnations, but they are like them. Talking rubbish again. They're called pinks, not because they're pink, but because of the way the petals around the edges, they look as if they've been cut with pinking shears. You know what pinking shears are, don't you? If you were, in the old days, a seamstress, were you a seamstress in the good old 50s or 40s or 30s, or perhaps your grandmother was? If you don't know what pinking shears are, look them up. OK, thanks for listening. As always, I've enjoyed chatting to you immensely. I hope you've enjoyed listening. raysrants@protonmail.com if you've anything to say. And I will see you, when will I see you? On Wednesday. Look after yourselves. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. See you Wednesday. Bye-bye for now.